Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. By the by, soccer is back on ESPN+, City A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN+. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. And now, it's time for your SportsCenter update.
The Big Ten on Thursday announced it will go to a conference-only season for all fall sports, including football, due to the coronavirus pandemic. According to a court motion and sworn affidavit filed in federal court on Thursday, Zion Williamson's stepfather solicited and accepted a $400,000 payment from a marketing agent in October 2018, prior to Williamson's only season with the Duke Blue Devils. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right. Clinton Yates, Jen Latta, filling in here on a Friday. Dan Le Batard Show. Joining us right now on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line is megastar, super genius, and my friend L. Duncan. Hi, L. I'm being completely sincere, L. Hey, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Did I not say on the show we do together, The Intersection, by the by, Thursdays 8 to 10 on ESPN Radio, if you want to check that out, in conjunction with The Undefeated. Did I not say yesterday that your heater of a week talking about DeSean Jackson legitimately changed my feelings about a lot of things? And not like in some major way, but it really opened up a piece of understanding. Did I not say that yesterday? Thank you. Thank you. Well, deal with. Wow. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there's some reframing going on there. I appreciate that, Al. When are y'all going to whip out your Mensa cards and start measuring them?
Yeah, sure.
Right?
I need to take some tests over here. I don't think I measure up from a genius standpoint, but I do know that I am in the company of genius.
No, I'm just a lot. I know that for sure. But I do need to ask you something, Al, because we got into a discussion last segment. Mm-hmm. I, today, recently, like 10 minutes ago, learned exactly who the family known as the Griswolds are.
Come on.
Excuse me, Clinton.
Thank you.
Hold on, Al. Hold on, Al.
What?
Al. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you referring to? It was 10 minutes of dead air. And then I asked one question, Al. I said, are there any black people in this piece of content?
Oh, hell no. No, not a single one.
Okay.
No. Neil,
I think that vindicates a little something about why I have no idea what this is.
We did learn that the police chief is black in the film. We were also reminded that when they go to Chicago, that some black people may have vandalized their car.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was, it was very, that's very stereotypical for the movies of that time. They
right,
were terrified.
Right, right, 1983, exactly.
Correct. Yeah, they thought they were asking for directions, and then as they were asking for directions, they were taking the wheels off of their car. That doesn't change the fact, though, Clinton, that you, as someone who I would consider a purveyor of all things pop culture, don't know the Griswolds. Like, how do you just not know them just in, like, pop culture lexicon? It's one thing to have, you know, not seen every movie, which, by the way, I'm embarrassed to say that I have. They've changed casts every single movie.
The kids. Right?
The kids have changed every single movie. Including, I think, the most recent one, Vegas Vacation, which was terrible, but funny, entertaining. But I'm just surprised that it hasn't come up in any conversation. Like, you never... Really?
What conversation?
Like, just ever with anything that has anything to do with Christmas. Like, at Christmas time, you never even see, like, Griswold, like, GIFs or anything or memes.
Again,
or...
I did not... The point here is I understood what it was once it was described to me when I looked at it. But off the rip, Because Jen referenced the Griswolds like three times in the first two segments, and I was just kind of like, I don't really know who you're talking about.
And full disclosure, and really Al, I was talking about the Christmas lights scene, right? And everybody knows what that is. And I said, why is the carpet all wet, Todd? I don't know, Margot. And I just felt like, again, from a pop culture standpoint, that is typically like in within the frame of reference. That is like in bounds. That is within the lines of the game. And Clinton was basically telling me, no, man, you're like seven seats back in the stands.
No, she's not wrong. There's a lot that's taken from that. We actually, my dad's name is Clark, and he sort of has a lot of Clark Griswold in him, and so we've been calling him that our entire life. But yeah, it would be Clinton, to put it in a place, some context that you would understand. It would be the original Johnson Family Vacation.
Okay, I mean, what on earth? Okay, I learned something today.
Do you know the Johnson ignorant. Family Vacation? Do you?
I feel ignorant. No, I'm trying to say something else. I feel ignorant because here's the deal. There's a lot of stuff I don't know, and I'm willing to admit that. A lot of people on this network are not. So thank you all for informing me of what a very big piece of pop culture is.
Correct.
You have been very helpful today. L. Duncan, of course, of SportsCenter and Around the Horn and The Intersection, joins us here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Clinton Yates, Jen Latta. So, how's your week been, L? Like I said, you know, you've been really opening my mind when it comes to a lot of things. And I'll explain this again like I explained it last night. What DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson have said in the past three, 4 days, considering where I'm from and where I was raised, it was put in a sort of psychological box where, for black folks, there's a lot of that you hear. And you throw it out because you just say, these Bammers are crazy. I ain't worried about what they think. It's not something that necessarily moved to the top of the, I don't know, the offensiveness list, the rankings, whatever we want to call it. And this week, the way you explained it, L, I realized you can't just throw this kind of stuff out of hand. Because a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life say a lot of messed up stuff. And ignoring it or acting like, oh, that's just whatever, that's not productive. That was my attitude towards a lot of things that, frankly, a lot of folks whose opinions I didn't care about anyway had said for a long time. That has changed within me. I now understand the difference between, you know, offensive and harmful. This, to me, I understand to be harmful because of everything that everybody has said, including you, L, and I appreciate that. So please do expound.
Yeah, thank you, Clinton. I think there was a part of the conversation, and we had a brief conversation a few days ago, and likewise, you sort of opened up, you know, my thoughts too, because I think I wanted to be clear when I said that there was no hierarchy in bigotry. And what I meant by that is that it's not, I think all too often, it's, and again, I have sort of friends from really every walk of life, and I've had, you know, Chinese American and Japanese American friends say, well, we oftentimes are not counted in sort of the people of color area because people, you know, think, well, they're very successful, they're smart, they're engineers, like they always go to the best schools. And so how could they be considered a marginalized community? But like we've also faced, you know, having to send our kids to school and having people, you know, make slanty eyes at them and call them names and right. And been sort of. So I think that what I meant by that is that in the same word that I know what being called the N-word means to me and how it affects my community, I don't think we, and I do believe at a society, we sort of rank those things. It's like, well, I mean, okay, yeah, like it's terrible to quote Hitler or to be anti-Semitic, but at the same time, like, Jewish people are doing okay, you know, they're doing all right. And I think that it is an interesting conversation, and it is important to discuss the fact that, as we said, the proportionality of how racism affects different communities is very different, right? Because my Jewish American friends, my Jewish friends will admit, they have no concerns about getting pulled over when it comes to the police, right? And Black Lives Matter movement is incredibly important right now because of the assault on Black lives. But the idea that we need to focus simply on Black Lives Matter and in the process dehumanize other communities just doesn't sit well with me, because these are the exact same ideas and principles that we're trying to fight against. And for us to then turn around and do it to another race or another culture or another community is just incredibly unfair. And you're right, I was sort of raised in a you know, a family where, you know, subtle homophobia was okay. It's like you just sort of write it off as, oh, they're old school or whatever, and that's not okay, you know. My sister is lesbian, an out and proud lesbian, and from a very young age I realized, like, it's not okay to just sort of accept that we are allowed to, you know, dehumanize and minimize other communities because we have so many struggles in ours. It doesn't add up to me. And most importantly, Clinton, I've wanted to say this, despite being called a sellout in the process by some, not by everyone, but by some, is because I feel I would rather be called a sellout, which is wrong, but I would rather be wrongly called a sellout than to be a hypocrite. And I'm not going to ask of my, you know, my white friends and of my white colleagues, I'm not going to ask of my Jewish friends and colleagues, of my Hispanic friends and colleagues, to be vocal anti-racist, is to stand with me and to speak out against these things and to educate themselves without asking my community to do it when it comes to other groups as well. So that's really right. Where I'm at with that.
Yeah. Elle, I think your voice is so valuable. I think you speak so well on these topics, and it's hard to listen and not go, damn, that makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yes. I get that. I'm, you know, like, and that's what I kind of do as you sit there and go through this stuff. We had a conversation, gosh, what was it? Almost 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago, where we were talking about just some of the challenges of being Black kind of in our space and also being women, and how that has affected you and some of our colleagues in their journey. And I remember sitting in that space and just listening. I wanted to hear what you had to say. I didn't have anything to add to the conversation. And now it feels like I'm torn at times when I should contribute to a conversation and when I should just sit back and listen. Like, what's your advice on how to still handle those situations? And I feel bad even saying, like, hey, tell me how I should handle these situations. Tell me how to behave. But you've been so great at, like, giving such good suggestions at how to be an ally in these spaces that I kind of want to lean on you in this space. So I apologize first and foremost for doing that to you. But second of all, I'm like, hey, can you help me out here?
Yeah, don't apologize. That's, I would say, rule one is don't overthink it. White people overthink it way too much when it comes to talking about race. Like, people recognize when you're being genuine and honest and earnest and when you're trying. Don't be afraid to put your foot in your mouth and admit that you don't know, you know, what you're talking about. Like, it's okay to admit any of and all of those things. I had a really great meeting maybe a month and a half ago now, where this man who sort of does this for a living, who sort of teaches diversity and inclusion in the NFL and some of these other leagues, he was like, you know, one of the tenets that people don't understand of, you know, white fragility and white privilege and essentially white supremacy is this idea that in order to talk about race, white people have to be perfect. And if they can't be perfect, they won't say anything at all. And that's sort of why we've landed in the mess that we are. So I would say that it's not about just sitting and listening. It's about acting, and it's about asking, you know, questions, and more so not asking questions like, what can I do? It's more asking questions that are a little more pointed, Jen. So my friends and family, I've encouraged them that are white, I've encouraged them to ask legitimate and tangible things like, hey, would it be helpful if I go to, you know, my school superintendent and advocate for more Black authors to be included in books in the school or at these daycare centers? Yes. The answer is yes. As opposed to just throwing out, really casting a wide net and saying, like, what can I do to be an ally? I mean, you could start with Google. You know, like, there are really a lot of resources for you out there. So I would say if you have questions or you have, you know, concerns, or if you're feeling torn about things, I've had, you know, white friends do that as well over the last few weeks. Like, I'm feeling really torn about this situation. I hear the word reparations. I have a visceral reaction. Again, I want to be a good ally and I'm not educated on this. Instead of, what do you think about reparations? They say, well, what can I do or what can I read to educate myself better? You know, is there a book that you would recommend or is there an author that you trust? So I think it's just more about asking a little bit more pointed questions. And again, just embracing the fact that you're going to put your foot in your mouth and you're going to stumble along the way because, again, you don't know what it's like. But the fact that you are, you know, genuinely asking and really want to be an ally, I think will resonate with whoever you're speaking to.
She's Elle Duncan. See her on SportsCenter, around the horn. You can hear her on The Intersection with me, Thursdays, 10 Eastern, on ESPN Radio.
Bye. Thanks, bye.
Here's the deal, and I'm going to tell you all this very simply. This is to you and everybody else, Jen. This is the easiest thing to do to make sure that everything possibly goes better. When Black folks tell you something, believe us. Coming up, we're going to talk about some more football, but first, a read from Advance Auto Parts. Advance Auto Parts has added another winner to their roster, y'all. Die Hard Batteries. That's right. DieHard batteries are now at Advance. If you're a stat freak like me, you know that means Advance got a player with unrivaled reliability, durability, and power. Plus, you can get the free testing and free installation with purchase, and you don't even need an appointment. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participate in CarQuest locations. See store for details. Clinton Yates, Jen Latta, Dan Le Batard Show. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Dan Le Batard Show, Clinton Yates, Jen Latta. Right now, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We've been having a tremendous movie discussion all day, triggered, of course, by Jen mentioning the Griswolds a couple times, flying directly over my head.
Oh, I'm triggered. I am triggered.
And I took it to the tweets, and I asked y'all, I reserve the right to have never heard of something that has no identifiable black folks in it by at least 3-4 white folks. That is a right I reserve. I think that's reasonable. So now we've gotten to a point where Jen has pulled up the list. You can check us on Twitter, at Clinton Yates, at Jen Latta. And we're going through the movies that I have seen or not that are what? The most popular ones in American history? What's the deal, Jen?
I mean, listen, it's an inexact science, right? It says these are the 50 movies that have the most number of IMDb, right? Which is what, like the International Movie Database?
Right.
Right? It's like your go-to, right? If you're looking up a movie, you're looking up an actor, you're looking up a cast, you go to IMDb, right? User votes. It's a good working list of the 50 most common movies people have seen. How many of the 50 have you seen? So we're going down the list, right?
Okay.
We were at 6. You had seen 5 of the 6. So here we are. The right. Matrix. Yay or
yes,
nay?
For sure.
Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings.
Did not make it to the first one. Certainly didn't see any of the others.
Me neither. I haven't seen any of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Okay. I don't feel as bad.
Probably.
I don't really do woods and wizards, though. Like, I'm a lasers and robots guy when it comes to that. That's
all right, well, where I'm at on that. Look, we've got some lasers and robots on the list.
All right, let's go.
Godfather.
For sure. Read the books, too.
Dang. Yeah. Dark Knight Rises.
That's one of the Batman flicks? Yeah, I've seen. I mean, I've seen all of those.
Okay, there's another Lord of the Rings, but it's the second one. I'm guessing you didn't see that one. How about Interstellar?
Absolutely not.
I didn't either. 7, famous Brad Pitt movie, Gwyneth Paltrow, Head in the Box.
I've seen that movie, yes.
Django Unchained.
I've seen that movie. I hated that movie.
Gladiator.
Yes, that's a great movie. Are you not entertained?
Are you that's not entertained? So good. Batman Begins.
Yes.
The Avengers.
Yes.
There's like your robots and, right?
Right.
That's okay. Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, of course.
Inglourious Bastards.
No.
Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope?
Yes. A person fighting lightsabers on television on this network with another guy with my last name was me.
That was the first one, right? Because it says 1977. That was the first Star Wars?
Episode 4, yeah.
Correct, yes. Saving Private Ryan.
I didn't see that movie in the movie theater. That's for sure.
Did you see it at all?
I've seen it, like, my dad likes that movie. I've watched it a couple times with him.
Schindler's List.
Yes, I saw that movie and I watched it for a class.
Yo, I've never seen Schindler's List. I don't know if that, like, makes me cool, uncool.
It's long.
Like,
it's intense. That's
it's intense, yeah.
That.
The Departed.
Yes, I've seen The Departed.
The Prestige.
I don't know what The Prestige is.
All right, I'm gonna start rolling through these because we've only hit 25 and we are kind of like slow.
No, we gotta do them all. Let's bang till 35 right now. Let's get to
Wolf
35
of Wall
right
Street.
Now. No.
Star Wars Episode 5.
Yes.
Green Mile.
No.
Avatar.
Yes, and I laughed all throughout the movie because it was garbage.
Hashtag Disney. Memento.
No.
The Godfather Part 2.
Yes.
Shutter Island.
Never heard of it.
American Beauty. Oh, that's a Leo movie, Shutter Island.
American Beauty, I believe I've seen, is Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Film?
Before we knew that Kevin Spacey was a wackadoodle.
But was
probably
he
a pedophile.
In the movie, too?
A little bit of a creep stick. A little bit, yeah.
Okay,
right?
I've
like
seen
suburban
that film.
Dad
I've seen
coming
that film,
to grips
yes
with, yeah. Coming to grips with like the routine of his life, blah, blah, blah. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to rip through these. Titanic.
No.
Back to the Future.
Yes.
American History X.
Yes.
V for Vendetta.
No.
Leon the Professional.
Never heard of
it. Never even
heard
of it.
Oh, The Professional. Wait, The Professional, like with
I
the
don't
French movie?
No, I don't know. I don't
Moving
know.
Right along. It's all good.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
I think. There's like 10 of those, right?
Yeah, I think like 6. I don't know.
I've seen parts of 4.
Maybe 4.
I guess, when they're on TV.
Goodfellas.
Yes.
Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yes.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Yes, but hold on. Let's stop here. Cody, I need your help here, because these are all like super popular movies that are from the last 20 years.
Yeah, but that's the point, right? They're trying to say like...
I'm almost 40 like you, Jen. The previous 20 years are the issue here. When did National Lampoon's, when did the Griswolds run around America?
1983.
That's way early.
But Back to the Future is 85.
Sure.
Godfather's 74. Star Wars is 80.
Even good? Like, is there a reason why I should be this concerned about this?
They're kind of cult classics. But again, if they're not your bag, if they're not your jam, I'm not saying go watch them. You have to. Like,
okay,
I wouldn't
so
put them
this.
On this list. Like, this list here, I'm gonna say is like very comprehensive for like movies that most people have seen. Many people. Okay. Although I will say that in the mentions on this list, somebody comes out and says most white men, because there's not a lot of female representation in these films either. Right?
Like, correct.
A lot of women have seen Notting Hill. I don't see Notting Hill on this list. A lot of women have seen Sleepless in Seattle. I don't see Sleepless in Seattle on this list. Eat, Pray, Love? Let me check. Nope, not on the list.
Jen, you're an Eat, Pray, Love person?
I have never seen the movie.
Okay, so hold on. Let me say that the reason why this matters is because I have pulled up a list myself, and I would like to know which of these movies you've seen, and I'll go quickly. Number one, Above the Rim.
Yes.
New Jack City.
No.
Menace to Society.
Yes.
Higher Learning.
No.
Dead Presidents.
No.
Poetic Justice.
Yes.
Posse.
No.
A Lowdown Dirty Shame.
No.
White Men Can't Jump.
Yes.
Mo Money.
No.
Set It Off.
No.
Life.
Yes. That's
Juice.
Eddie Murphy, right? That's Eddie Murphy?
Yes. Juice.
No.
Jason's Lyric.
No.
Clockers.
No.
House Party.
No, I don't think so.
Deep Cover.
Mm-mm.
Hoodlum.
No.
Gridlocked.
No.
Crooklyn.
No, I haven't even heard of some of these.
I saw every single movie I just named in the movie theater with either my friends or my family. That's all I'm saying, Cody. You know? Bo talks about two Americas all the time, and that is what I was doing in that time. I wasn't checking for the daggone Griswolds, whoever they are. I'm out here watching classic black films in my upbringing. That's what I was doing. That doesn't make me better or worse than anybody, but I didn't have that kind of bandwidth between all the nonsense I was trying to figure out about my life. Certain things just fell through the cracks.
And I do think bandwidth is important, because I will say that whether you want to judge me on this or not, my bandwidth during that time was a lot of Disney movies. Like, I could go through the Disney library and it'd be like Little Mermaid, check. Beauty and the Beast, check. Lion King, check. Boom, boom, boom. Like, right. And last night we were actually doing this with Pixar movies because John Buchagross, famous SportsCenter anchor, is Bucci using his quarantine time to watch all of the Pixar movies, and he is ranking them best to worst. And of course, he's getting a lot of feedback, a lot of pushback on social media. So we were doing that about Pixar movies, and guess what? I've seen every damn Pixar movie that is out there multiple times. And I would argue that it's because I have kids, but most of them I saw before I started adding to the population of this world.
Okay. Point taken, Cody. And I believe I rest my case. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Clint Yates, Jen Latta, Dan Le Batard Show, ESPN Radio. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Penzoro Performance Line. The UFC heads to Fight Island for a title fight triple header at UFC 251. Usman versus Masvidal, Volkanovski versus Holloway, Jan versus Aldo. You don't want to miss this one. UFC 251 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV for more details. And now for your SportsCenter update.
In a statement Thursday, the UFC said Mike Perry has apologized and, quote, committed to immediately seek professional treatment, including substance and behavioral counseling, end quote, after a video that showed Perry punching a man at a Texas restaurant surfaced online Wednesday night. The New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement on Thursday instructed the state's sports books to suspend betting on all table tennis events in Ukraine or any matches involving six players after being warned of potential match fixing. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Dan Le Batard Show, Clinton Yates, Jen Latta filling in here on a Friday. All right, to put a bow on all this culture to America stuff, I'm going to explain to y'all when I first figured this out in my life. I was in college, I had transferred schools, and I was at Miami University, Oxford, Ohio, Butler County. First night I ever went out to the bars with my friends. I will never, ever, ever forget this. I'm trying to acclimate myself to this place. It's white folks everywhere. I wasn't used to that because I'm from D.C. And I'm just trying to learn the lay of the land in terms of trying to fit in. And I'll never, ever forget this. You know, you're hanging out at the bars, blah, blah, blah. You know, they play all the songs that you're used to hearing. And I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. This is fine. And then one song starts playing at the end of the night. Every single white person in this bar knew every single word.
Dude, if you tell me it was Living on a Prayer, I am getting off of this call. I am dropping this call.
Don't mess it up. Because I was scared. I was legitimately terrified. I was away from home, sight unseen, trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, literally, I was the only person in this place that had no idea what was going on. I was freaked out. It's 2 a.m. I was drunk too, so that didn't help. And I'm sort of looking around like, what is happening? I was so scared, I called my father, literally, on the phone, 2 a.m., woke him up because I wasn't sure what to do. He said, dude, what's going on, man? Are you okay? I was like, I don't know. He said, what's happening? I was like, I'm at a place and I'm hearing a song I have literally never heard. Not even close. He's like, how long have you been there? I was like, dude, I'm trying to get out of here. He goes, let me hear the song. I hold up the phone. It's loud, cacophonous, so it doesn't matter. He goes, I don't know what that is. Get the hell out of there. Your boy bounced. Big time. Now, let me ask you all quickly. Take a guess. Let's go around the horn here. We'll start with Cody as to what you think this song was.
Line, bop, bop, bop.
Strike one. I know that song from baseball, but good guess. Anthony.
Closing Time. I don't even know who sings it, but Closing Time is the song.
I've heard
Semisonic,
that song.
It's
that
by Semisonic. Show a little
Strike
respect,
two.
Anthony.
Billy Gill, your thoughts.
Man, I was going to go Closing Time. Was it... It had to be something Bon Jovi related.
Thank you, which I threw out there.
No. Jen, your turn.
All right, end of the night, white people, Billy Joel, Piano Man.
Bingo bang.
Yes!
I was terrified.
Yes! Are you serious?
I had never heard of that song at all.
Good job.
Dude,
every single person
where did I even pull that from?
Was enthralled. It was scary. And that's
because,
what I figured out.
Because
there's a
because
lot of
they're
stuff
doing
I just
the
don't
swaying,
know.
Right? Was everybody holding on to one another and swaying back and forth?
It was, again,
John
it was
at the bar is a friend of mine.
Overkill. And I realized then there is just a lot about pop culture from white folks in America when I grew up that I just don't know. And I just don't have available because that's just my life.
What's amazing, Clinton, is that you were somewhere and I was somewhere else and we were doing the exact same thing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at bar time during college.
It's real life, man. You know, that's when I learned there's two Americas. Coming up, we're going to talk about the NBA and their hotels. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Dan Le Batard Show, Clinton Yates, Jen Latta. Yes, I am very well familiar with this track, y'all. Seen them bang it live a couple times, just so you know. NBA is back. Trying to. Cats are coming back into the bubble in Orlando. We're seeing all the guys get out of their little trucks and cars and have their walk-ups to the
to the bubble, sort of like they're going in the arena back in the day. It feels a little NBA to see guys getting out of cars and walking down little things and going in the buildings and so forth. But there's still a lot we got to figure out, as we know. And there's a lot of fun parts about the bubble. There's a lot of hard parts. We're going to stick with some of the parts in between. And one, Rajon Rondo. Now, Rajon posted something on, was on IG, Insta. It was just a picture of a hotel room, which, you know, sure. We know what the hotel situation is. We've been talking about it for 3 months. But it said, Motel 6, huh? At NBA. I read that as a complaint. Was I wrong on that? Because that seems to be a pretty nice room. Last time I checked, you're staying something for 3 months? That ain't bad. Am I wrong on this? I'm not saying that he's whining, and I'm not saying to say that Rajon Rondo's standards need to be mine. But, like, that could be much worse, yo. Jen, am I crazy?
You're not crazy. I feel like I'm crazy because I just pulled up the picture, and this is the first time I noticed that there is a single finger salute up in the right hand, left hand corner of the picture.
Oh,
am I the first person? Is this a doctored image that I'm looking at?
I did not know that either. Right?
Anybody
if
else
you
pulling
look above
it up?
The headboard,
yeah.
If you look above the headboard.
We got the bird,
and
man.
The dark part of the lights. Oh, so this is definitely a complaint. Wow.
And this is the first time I'm seeing that. So breaking news, I just am scanning this photograph. And look, people have posted pictures of Motel 6s all over the internet. It doesn't look anything like this hotel room.
Best
right?
Motel 6 in America, easily.
It's gorgeous. Easily. I mean, Bomani Jones put out a great point, and I thought this was so brilliant of him. Like, the problem is expectations, right? What's that phrase, Clinton, that's like expectation is the thief of joy or something like that, or comparison is the thief of joy, something like that. And basically it is saying, like, depending on what your expectations are is how happy you're going to be with the outcome, right? So if you go in thinking penthouse suite, Las Vegas casino type stuff, you know, maybe rotating bed, I don't know, lights over the bed and weird stuff and like a bar in there, then yeah, you're going to be disappointed when you walk into Coronado Springs in Disney World. Like, Disney World is still a family place, right? So like, right. I think this is a damn nice hotel room. I've been to a Motel 6. I've been to an Eco Lodge. I've been to all of those like low end places when I was hard up on money and had to stay somewhere. And you scroll through your phone and you find the place that's $49 a night. I've done that. This is not that. And it just was another example of just like little out of touch, little disconnected from reality. If we're going to be critical here.
That's a good point. This looks pretty decent digs, not just for Disney, but overall for America, as Jen said. However, if you look at those food pics, then is where I have a problem. Because the bed you sleep in, the carpet you walk on, across the board, those aren't getting that different from the highest to the lowest end. They are. But food is a different matter. Elite athletes need good food. That's how that works. You can't just say, oh, eat whatever, because you got to play. Half the teams in the NBA now have full-time nutritionists that have completely overhauled the way athletes consume things. I was shocked to see that summer camp meal coming out there, Jen.
Well, but I actually think that was like summer camp early bubble meal options. Because I think we've seen pictures now over the last 24 hours that have rolled out that are much more feast worthy. Right, you got some chicken, you got some salad, you got some sides, stuff that like really sticks to the ribs. That first one looked like what I would get when I would roll through LaGuardia when I'm headed down to a college game day assignment, and you got like maybe 12 minutes before your gate is closing, the door is closing at your gate, so you just kind of grab a few things and you get there and you're like, damn, I got celery and sriracha. What? Like, what am I going to do with this?
Not good. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the bubble. There's going to be some fun stories from around there. I didn't have rotating beds on my bingo card, though. I'm not really sure I even understand what a rotating bed is for. That's a joke. Clint Yates, Jen Latta, Dan Levitard Show, ESPN Radio. We're filling in on a Friday. We're back soon, kiddos.